Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Well, you know what time it is. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday. As always, this is the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT. Along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. And as always, we engage in conversation and give you information, and there's a whole bunch of information today about the wacky, crazy, and thug-like world of fantasy sports and politics. We got a lot of things to talk about pertaining to football, pertaining to basketball, and just pertaining to life in general. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Black, Jeff, or me. We also have a chat room that, if for your convenience, if you'd like to jump in that chat room and express your opinion in that chat room, you can do so. Without further ado, let's bring my two co-hosts and get this show started. Welcome, Black. Welcome, Jeff.
What's going on, people? Glad to be here. Man, it's a real week for me. It's a real week in the NFL. It's a real week everywhere, really. My goodness.
Yo, Jeff. Welcome to the show. Let's do it.
Well, all I can say is when you got money, doesn't make you the smartest person in the world.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
Let me tell you something, people. I don't know where I want to start and who I want to start with. Do I want to go to the big D? Do I want to go to the big C? Or do I want to go to the big P? Let me flip a coin, a three-sided coin, and see where I want to go. First, let's go to this guy. I know there's a bunch of places to go, but I want to go to this guy first because I don't know who's the dumbest, but this guy's got to be up there. Undrafted free agent. An undrafted free agent, meaning you got a few strikes against you because you got to excel in order to even get on the team, even to get a look. So you're an undrafted free agent from the Browns, or to the Browns, okay? And what do? You come out from Virginia. Now, I don't know what they did down there, but he comes up to Jersey in Passaic, which is up near you, Jeff.
That's the same city. That's walking distance from my apartment.
Oh, okay. And let me put it this way. He gets into a fight outside a gentleman's club, a strip joint, to be exact, and he hit the guy so hard, the guy's in critical condition as of Tuesday. And as of that, Assar Walcott, I'm brutalizing his name, an undrafted free agent rookie, been charged with first-degree attempted murder, second-degree aggravated assault, and third-degree endangering an injured victim. And this is not his first incident. He was suspended from the University of Virginia when he was involved in a fight. So you can imagine this guy's going to be released. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Jeff, I know you probably did hear about it.
This guy's an embarrassment. I mean, he might have been drafted if he hadn't had that trouble at Virginia. He's a North Jersey guy from Hackensack. I don't know what he's doing at a jiggly joint at 3 in the morning. Story is that place, back in the day, they would serve anybody big enough to see up to the bar, you know? And, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You should be, like, working hard to get in shape for camp, not being at the nudie bar till 3 in the morning. And then he's so stupid because the thing is, NFL teams only go to camp with 80 guys, that even an undrafted rookie at least has a shot at the practice squad. You know, you got a shot. It's not like the old days when they go to camp with over 100 guys. Now, you know, he hasn't made the money yet, so this is the kiss of death. He's being represented by a public defender. It's not like he's a guy like Aaron Hernandez who's got a few bucks in his pocket and can hire a high-powered attorney. So now he's got to rely on a public defender to get him off on these charges. And you know what I hate about crap like this? These fights I doubt he was trying to kill the guy, but it's usually about something stupid, like, were you looking at me, you know?
Right, right.
That's why I'm against violence, is because you don't know what's going to happen. And it sounds like a story, but I used to hang out with a guy who swore that his cousin died from injuries from a bar fight, you know? And that's the problem. A couple of idiots start, or even just one idiot starts fighting with somebody over nothing. Next thing you know, somebody can get real seriously hurt, you know? It's not all fun and games like when you see a bar fight in the movie, you know? You know, they break a chair on somebody's head, they break a bottle. Hey, it's funny, but it's not funny, you know? Somebody can get seriously hurt or killed. So, you know, you better behave yourself when you're outside the nudie bar at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. And I can't believe I can't remember this guy's name. Used to be coach for the Jets. Herb what?
Herman Edwards.
Herman Edwards, yes. Nothing happens good after 12 o'clock. That's one of his sayings, something like that. Nothing happens good after 12 o'clock a.m. Black, what's your comments about this knucklehead?
Let me give an update while we're talking. With the fifth pick, the Phoenix Suns have selected Alex Len, center from Maryland. That guy is very foolish, but he's not the only foolish guy we'll talk about tonight. Seems to be something in the air going on in the summertime. All these crazy things happen in the summer, and I don't know why this guy risking future doing something like this, but it's just crazy.
That's true. There's another thing going on besides what we're going to be talking about, these guys that are getting in trouble. Which is ironic another event is going on at the same time, which probably would help these guys hammer home how much they can get in trouble. Anyway, let's move on to another knucklehead. Sorry, Black, but I got to bring this guy up because
he's dead to me since. Killed a teammate. Is that where you're going?
Yeah, that's where I'm going. He failed the second drug test and was sent back to jail on Thursday. Now, this is not a good week or the last 2 weeks for the NFL because some of these guys, I mean, it makes no sense to me. The Dallas County judge held Brent's bond insufficient. The DA filed a motion on Tuesday asking the judge to revoke his bond because it was revealed he failed the drug test on June 19th. He was out on bail to be charged, quite naturally, like Black said, intoxication manslaughter resulting in his death last year of a best friend and teammate, Jerry Brown. He's still on the Cowboys 90-man roster. Your vice president, Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones' son, said the team have no comment. And his agent said he's aware of everything involved in the case but wouldn't comment further. According to court records, Brent has tested positive for marijuana twice. He had a bond hearing scheduled for July 19th when the Dallas DA said he failed a drug test in late May. Brett has his trial for intoxication manslaughter is scheduled for September 23rd. Also in this article, it says that his attorney had held preliminary discussions about a plea deal. Well, that went out the freaking window because the fact is he's out on bail and he's supposed to keep clean. And you would think the knucklehead, this is how stupid some of these guys are. He gets in trouble last year, okay? He gets out on bail, and he knows he's going to be doing drug tests, periodic drug tests, whenever they feel like giving him a drug test. He fails two drug tests, okay? And his trial is coming up in 2 or 3 months. So he's going back to jail. He ain't coming out of jail. And he pretty much thumbed his nose at the DA and the judge because he failed these two drug tests, and his trial is coming up in a few months. How dumb can you possibly be? I understand these football players are geniuses, but you got to have some type of common sense. I know a lot of these guys come from rough neighborhoods or whatever, but you got to have some common sense. If you get in trouble, you got to think that you don't do things to stay in trouble. Jeff, I'm going to give it to you because I know how much you are upset about these guys doing stupid things. I am, and then I'll come to Black.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I can say to add. Bringing up Aaron Hernandez, you know, that, okay.
We'll get to that.
Knows. Yeah, we'll go back to that. But mm-hmm. I don't know. It's this is kind of like almost like a vacation in the NFL because this is it's after the it's after the mini camp. It's before training camp, and some of these cats need to be kept busy. I don't know, and this is why you know teams try to do as much research as they can before investing in a guy. And but I think this guy. I mean, guys make mistakes, you know. I mean, but these things are awful, you know. I mean, this guy, you know, Brent. I mean, that guy. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that guy's a loser. You know, he's not just a guy who got caught shoplifting in high school or smoked a little weed in high school. This guy's a loser, and doesn't know how to make the best of the second chance he might get. You know, the guy from. Oscar Walcott, he's a dummy, you know. Because sometimes I think, you know, when a football player gets, you know, has a little bit of trouble in his past, I think he gets exaggerated at times, you know. I think it does. And the thing is, in the NFL, it's about 1,600 players in their 20s and 30s. There's going to be a guy or two who's in a little trouble. But this stuff is not a little trouble. You know, the recent
right.
events that we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is what teams want to avoid. But, you know, getting back to Hernandez, you know, he had a little trouble in college. His draft dropped because of it. Surprisingly, the Patriots took a chance. He got, a contract with a lot of incentives. He stayed out of trouble. And then as soon as he signed the nice extension, he thinks he's Scarface, you know? Go figure. And you know, I'm curious. I mean, he's from the 203, and that's Connecticut. You know, I know there's some
right.
tough parts of Hartford or whatever, but I don't know if he's from around the way. But I think this guy, he's got a lot of problems, you know, and now he's dealing with them.
All right, Black, talk to me about your cowboy, Josh Brent.
Well, that guy's been dead to me ever since the teammate passed away and forced him to let that guy rest in peace. But this guy's a complete idiot, man. Complete idiot. Quick NBA draft update. The New Orleans Pelicans have now formed a nice twin tower combo with the pickup of Nerlens Noel.
Okay. That's wow. I'm telling you that the we'll get to that. Let me put it that way. I appreciate that, Black, but we'll get to that because I got some comments on that, him dropping that far. But the real heart of the story, the real heart of these guys getting in trouble is in my next guest, who's residing in a place in Connecticut and probably will never see the light of day and hold his kid or whoever for a long time. I'm talking about Mr. Aaron Hernandez, who's been charged with murder in the death of Odin Lloyd. He also faces 5 gun-related charges. Quite naturally, he pleaded not guilty, was denied bail. He went to another arraignment, not arraignment, but to try to get bail again today, and he was denied. He was arrested, quite naturally, you guys know, Wednesday morning, 9 days after his friend, this is supposed to be his friend, Odin Lloyd, got killed. He entered the door. He was taken from his house in handcuffs, and they had the perp walk. That's supposedly, probably, his lawyer was trying to negotiate a way for him to a time for him to turn himself in, but Attleboro police wanted to have a perp walk, and he's a high profile player from the New England Patriots. Not anymore. He's not from the New England Patriots because the Big P got rid of him. He was formally charged with murder, carrying a firearm without a license, possession of a large capacity firearm, possession of a firearm without a firearm owner's identification card, and 2 additional firearm charges. And according to several reports, the Patriots had decided to get rid of Hernandez if he got arrested. And during his arraignment, and I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but I'm going to run this down because this guy looks like he's going to go away for a long time. The prosecutor, William McCauley, presented a case for why Hernandez shouldn't receive bail. And I'm going to give you some of the details that emerged from this prosecutor. On Monday, June 17th, Hernandez and 2 other men picked up Lloyd in Dorchester, Massachusetts, around 2:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in a rented Nissan Altima. According to the prosecutor, Hernandez was allegedly upset with Lloyd about speaking to someone at Club Rumor in Boston that weekend and claimed he couldn't trust him. And I think there's something out there that Hernandez had said to someone that I can't trust anybody anymore. The 4 men drove around Boston, then headed south down routes 128 and 95 before ending up on Route 152 in the Attleboro area. During this time, Lloyd exchanged texts with his sister. The last text, according to McCauley, was sent at 3:23 a.m. And let me just say this. Let me just say. Oh, it says, after getting into the car, Lloyd allegedly texted a family member, doesn't say who, asking, "Did you see who I am with?" And then he also texts. He then texts that it was Hernandez and followed it up with, "Just so you know." So he figured he was in trouble when they picked him up. Surveillance video showed that the Altima entering a gravel road that leads to a field in an industrial park near Hernandez's home at 3:23 a.m. McCauley said employees in the park working at the time reported hearing gunshots. Surveillance images show the Nissan leaving the scene at 3:27 a.m. So he did this real quick. Hernandez and the 2 others in the car then returned to Hernandez's home less than 2 minutes away and shut off the surveillance video system. And quite naturally, Lloyd's body was discovered around 5:30 p.m. by a jogger. McCauley said that, and that's the prosecutor, Hernandez eventually changed cars, disposed of the gun, and destroyed his home surveillance system. Now, we talked about this last week and didn't know about all this information last week. Now it's coming out now. I said this guy wasn't a good guy last week, because of the things that were supposedly, that it took place in college. And I also read an article that the reason why they got rid of this guy is because Lloyd knew or had information that Hernandez was possibly tied to a drive-by double murder, which took place, I forget when it took place.
2012.
But,
2012.
Excuse me?
2012
was the alleged double drive-by.
Right. And that's probably where it says, like, you can't trust anybody anymore. So, but I'm pretty sure more information is going to get leaked out, or something, you know, you're going to get more information. But from what I'm hearing, from what I'm reading, and in the weeks and months to come, it looks like he's done. And supposedly also, he's supposed to have gang ties, some type of gang ties. So I can believe it. But we'll wait and see what comes out of it. I'm going to give this to Black first to comment, and then to Jeff.
Man, where do I even begin, man? The last couple of weeks, you guys have been filling me in on the show about what's going on, and then I just saw more stories, and then more stories, and then more stories. More evidence mm-hmm. came out, and I said, oh, my goodness. This is all bad. Hernandez, oh man, this is just terrible for Hernandez. I see that he's affiliated with the Bloods that has come out now. This is a crazy story, a really crazy story. And if this 2012 double murder thing is pinned on him as well, man, we basically talking about a Tony Soprano in the NFL, man, a mob guy, made guy in the NFL, having people taken out. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And also, before you comment, Jeff, the prosecutors also described how they think Lloyd died. He said, as the victim was shot, he attempted to defend himself by putting up his arm. The first round struck him in the outside of his forearm, traveled through the inside of the forearm, and entered into his body. He said Lloyd began to turn, and he was shot in the back two times. And after that, Hernandez and his accomplices shot him twice through the chest, one in each side of the chest. Jeff,
that's a hit, man.
Execution style, man. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, Aaron Hernandez is kind of known for, you know, having a little bit of a temper on the field and off. You know, you'd see him usually. I don't think he was penalized too much because, you know, he was Belichick would have ended up benching him. And they say, this is a great story, literally a few days after he got drafted, he went off on Wes Welker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these Patriots, they don't mess around. They had him in the facility studying film days after being drafted. So, you know, he hadn't even signed a contract yet. He's trying to look at film. He's having some trouble with the projector. And Wes Welker was busting his chops, and Hernandez wasn't going to take it. He went nuts on the guy. This guy, you know, Pro Bowl player and a team leader, but you know, Hercules Hernandez didn't care. And, you know, I'm not sure about his background. I mean, he's from Bristol, Connecticut. That's the home of ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, coincidentally, I was up in Connecticut this weekend, and I was doing a little research, and I think there's some parts of Bristol that are less affluent. But it's not like he's from the South Bronx or something, you know. But maybe
right.
he just likes to act that way. And I think, you know, he was, you know, well, he's still a young man. He's only 23. It's so sad that, you know, he had some problems. You know, his father passed away when he was in high school. But other people have overcome that type of thing, you know.
Sure.
And also, don't forget, supposedly, he shot a guy allegedly in February. The guy, he wouldn't talk to the police, but he is suing Hernandez in civil court. I mean, this cat is like a one-man crime wave.
Yeah.
They got on the surveillance camera him and one of his buddies walking into the house holding guns, you know.
Right.
I mean, this is all a lot of this stuff is circumstantial, but it's piling up. All they need is a murder weapon and witnesses. That's what they're lacking, you know.
And if they know who these guys are, what's to say one of them won't turn on them and give him up, you know, for a plea deal on his own? Who knows? Just to add fuel to the fire, one of his teammates, a Pro Bowl player, Matt Light. I don't know if the guys heard about this. Apparently, he wasn't too fond of his teammate. Weighed in on shortly after he got charged with murder. This is a quote from Matt Light that he gave to a reporter or whoever at the Dayton Daily News. "I never talk about other guys, but I will say I've never embraced, never believed in anything Aaron Hernandez stood for." Wow. You know, Matt Light's not the type of guy that to really to throw a teammate under the bus unless the teammate deserves to be thrown under the bus. And he, in my opinion, spoke very candidly and truthfully how he really felt about Aaron Hernandez. Your thoughts? Anybody want to jump in there, Jeff?
Well, the thing is now everybody's going to pile up on Hernandez. You know, he's such an easy target. And some of the criticisms are a little off. Like one of them was, I thought it was silly. Somebody was saying, oh, he doesn't have a lot of friends on the team or he doesn't socialize a lot with guys on the team. Well, what's wrong with that? It's a free country. You don't have to be friendly with your coworkers, you know, socialize with your coworkers if you don't want to. I mean, I get the impression most players do, but not everybody does. And that's an unjust criticism. But at this point, you know, Hernandez is fair game.
Black, you got anything?
Oh, man. I'm waiting to see what else comes up, man. Would there be more bodies? Or is there some other stuff? I mean, the story just gets stranger day by day.
Oh. And I'm looking at something else. Aaron Hernandez's girlfriend helped prosecution. And the DA said, yes, she did. So, Shania Jenkins was allegedly dating Aaron's friend, Odin Lloyd. Before he was murdered, Shiana's reportedly been instrumental in helping put pieces together in the case, which that's Shiana is Aaron Hernandez's girlfriend, and I, if I'm not mistaken, I think probably a fiance and had a kid by Hernandez.
Yes, and her sister was seeing the Odin Lloyd.
Right.
The
prosecutors reportedly told the court that they went to speak to Aaron's girlfriend after Odin's death. They told the court that Shiana's was initially very cooperative, but after what they believed to be Aaron's intervention, she became less cooperative. So she probably innocently started saying whatever she was saying, and then when Aaron realized what was going on, they tried to tell her to shut up. Because he was directly involved in this. And quite naturally, they have an eight-month-old daughter. And man. I mean, this is crazy. And she's older than she's a year older than Hernandez. She's 24. He's 23. I'm trying to think what else is there. Oh, what the heck is it? I just had it. Come on.
Now, you would think she just had a baby a couple months ago that she would be trying to protect the baby father, but man, goodness.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to because there was a tweet that somebody had. I guess it was from Hernandez or whoever, and I can't get to it. Damn it, I can't get to it. Well, it is what it is. I can't get to it. I thought I could. Quite naturally, his mother said, my son will be cleared of all charges, basically saying that the truth will come out, and my son didn't do anything wrong. It's all got to play out in court. Mikhail said last week that it's all circumstantial. Well, it's some serious circumstantial evidence. You're seeing with surveillance, holding a gun. You've had past run-ins or past experiences that people know about with gunplay. You're basically, and I really believe this guy's a hothead and so-called keeping it real. He kept it real, decided to get rid of somebody, allegedly get rid of somebody that may have had some information about him being involved in a double drive-by murder. Like I said earlier, this guy, allegedly had gang ties, I really believe because of the actions and the way. His attitude and the things he's been doing and accused of doing is all, in my opinion, got to do with the gang life. And I don't know, you say he's from Connecticut. I don't know what part of Connecticut to be exact.
Yeah, he is an alleged blood, man. I heard he had
is
blood
that right?
tattooed on one of his hands, yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's got so many tattoos, it's hard to notice. And the thing is, the Bloods and the Crips, they franchised all over the country.
Oh, yeah. Huge. So, like I said, you keep it real, and it's going to be real in jail because he can buddy up to his blood brothers in jail because he's going to have to because he'll have a big target on his chest. Millionaire football player, big tough guy, going in jail. Somebody's going to definitely try him more than once. I don't know what else to say about this, man. I'm completely at a loss for words, but this guy is a bad guy, was always a bad guy. He had a ton of ability, and for the life of me, it's a perpetual thing that these coaches do. Guys got a ton of ability, and they overlook or think they can rehabilitate thug-like life these guys have. Just to get their God-given ability on the football field to help them win games. This is, the Patriots. Okay, he took a chance. Bill Belichick took a chance. It paid off for a couple years. I would say a couple years because I'm not even counting this. I'm counting what happened possibly with the double murder. So that's when bad things went bad. Went worse, I should say. And
how do you think Tim Tebow's feeling right now? Gronk is out with surgery. Hernandez is down. He could possibly slide into the tight end spot.
Well, I gotta believe this, man, that all the things that he's going through, he still wants to be a quarterback. To move to a freaking tight end, I kind of doubt he's even entertaining that thought. Even though he may have the body built for it, I don't think he's got the heart to be a tight end, a blocking tight end, or even play that role.
Go ahead, Jeff. I know what you're saying, Jerry, but I just don't see New England giving a lot of snaps to Tebow in practice, because that's what they'd have to do. And
sure,
I don't see them on a regular basis putting in Tebow, you know, for a few plays here and there. Now, you know, with respect to the genius of Belichick, I'm sure he's got some kind of plan for Tebow. I just, as much as I don't see Tebow playing tight end, I don't see the Patriots playing him at quarterback. And he's going to be, you know, with Gronkowski's injuries and Hernandez, popping a cap. It's going to be Tebow, capital T, capital E, as in tight end. But they also got Ballard, who they picked up from the Giants, because the question is, I think Brandon Lloyd is still a free agent. Maybe they'll sign him, but who the heck is Brady going to throw the rock to this season? Everybody's gone. You know, his boy Welker's gone. Gronk, I think he's going to miss some regular season games because that back injury is serious. Hernandez is off the team now. And it reminds me, now, before the Patriots signed Randy Moss and Welker, Brady was throwing to some pretty average receivers. It's easy to forget that. And that's why, you know, when people would compare him to Manning, I'd say Brady plays a little smarter, he's good in the clutch, and he's not throwing to stars. So for a lot of his career, you know, he had some good receivers like David Patton, Deion Branch, but those guys weren't superstars, you know. And also Brady was good at spreading the ball around. He never had, you know, before Moss, before Welker, he didn't have a go-to guy. He made the best of what he had. Oh, they lost Woodhead, too. I mean, who the heck's he going to throw to? It's nuts.
That's exactly my next point.
Believe me, they'll figure something out most likely.
Well, I also read a quick article. I forget exactly where I saw it, that maybe Tony Moiaki from the Kansas City Chiefs may be on a move. And maybe a possibility of him going to New England. But and you got Josh McDaniels, who made a lot of money after he left for Matt Castle. Now it's not the quarterback that has to be things have to be conjured up to for the offense. It's somebody to receive the passes that Tom Brady throws. Where do you see now? Okay, now I know everybody said, well, it's the Patriots. It's Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. They'll find a way. They have Tom Brady, and Tom Brady did this before. But this is the problem I have. Brandon Lloyd is gone. His best pass buddy, Wes Welker, is gone. His other little short out-of-the-backfield pass buddy, Danny Woodhead, is gone. Ron Gronkowski won't be there week one. Aaron Hernandez won't be there forever. Who is he going to throw to? I seriously think, and I, from what I'm looking at, that the Patriots have taken a huge hit offensively. It's true they have Tom Brady, but who is on the Patriots are they going to get to be able to get open? Get open for Tom Brady to throw the ball to. Otherwise, Tom Brady's got to be the most perfect passer of all time in the NFL in order to get passes to guys who can't get open. Black.
I'm always available. I'm, you know, about 6 feet, maybe 197. You know, I'm always available to make the trip to New England.
Mm-hmm. Jeff.
Hey, you know, I'm available too. You know, they let these short guys like Welker and Woodhead. And I'll tell you, Welker, when they showed him at minicamp or workouts with Denver, he was an inspiration to a lot of guys I know because he had a big, pale, flabby-looking gut on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I can look like that. I already do look like that. So... You know, I know it's the off season, and you know, guys can put on a few pounds in the off season as long as you don't eat yourself out of a job. But
mm-hmm.
man, that dude should have kept his shirt on because I mean, he was blinding people with that gut, you know. And you know, when it was, all the cameras were there because it's a big deal. It's the mini camp. He's a big free agent pickup, and whatever. Yeah, I'm available. You know. Don't ask me my 40 speed, but, you know, I got good hands.
We're good for 5 or 10 yards out, both me and the jungle. For you fantasy owners out there, I know we won't show up on the opening day, Roger, because we're going to be so late in addition, but Black the Boogie and Jeff the Joker, secret stash with your fantasy mind.
Okay. Well, Black, you had briefly said something to me about the recent presser that you attended. Enlighten Jeff and myself again and the listening audience about your presser and who were the who was involved in this presser that you went to?
Well, as you know, the fight has been set up with Floyd Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez, September 14th in Las Vegas. But they're embarking on an 11-city press tour. And Tuesday, they stopped here in Washington, D.C., my hometown. And I said, I can't let these guys be in my hometown without going to see them. So I grabbed my press pass, headed on down to the Hollywood Theater. The line was ridiculous. The line had to be maybe about 3 blocks long. People around waiting to go. I stopped off. I talked to a buddy. I saw a man. He asked me if I was waiting with him. I said, no, sir. I'm going to the media entrance. I can't do this. It's about 93 degrees out here. I'll see you inside. So that's him. Went on in. Checked in with the media. As soon as I get downstairs, I see our hometown champ, Seth Mitchell. I gave him congratulations from his fight on Showtime the week
mm-hmm.
before. He was able to get his belt back from Jonathan Banks and the man, the Stewart train fighter. So,
right.
Congratulations. He was there with his manager, Sharice Saleem. And no sooner than I see him, I saw Dusty Harrison, our other local guy, our undefeated teenager, 18 years old, 15-0. He fights this Saturday on the Golovkin card, Golovkin versus Maclin. That's the HBO After Dark card. I don't know if they'll be televising his fight. I believe there's about 6 or 7 fights on that card. But he'll be fighting
okay.
the Golovkin card coming up this weekend. And, you know, we sat in there, we waited around a little bit, you know, talked with all the local media guys that I always see, Dave Ross from Fox 5, Mike Wise, The Post, and other guys like that. So they took us on in the back, and just a bunch of more media there. And no sooner to my surprise, I turned my head. Floyd Mayweather walked exactly right in front of me in my direction. Little guy, tiny guy, but a guy with hands, tiny guy. We got to talk for a little while. You know, so all the media came. He was in front of the press board for a minute. He talked, gave all the TV people some time. And then it was time for him to turn it over to the writer. So we had like a little round table with Floyd sitting down. Also the CEO of Mayweather Promotions, Leonard Ellaby, who happens to be a D.C. native, was also with Floyd at the time. So they sat down. All of the
mm-hmm.
writers were there around the round table. He gave us a good little bit. I actually did a story on it. It should be out either today or tomorrow. I was trying to get it out yesterday, but some complications with the iPhone. They had to do some things, some complications on my end as well. But it should be out either today or tomorrow. Definitely by the weekend it'll be out. But Floyd gave us a lot of tidbits. Canelo, I was excited to meet Canelo, but the Canelo doesn't speak a lick of English, so I wasn't able to sit down with him and ask him any questions. I didn't want to do the whole interpreter thing because that was just too much. But after we had that session with him, they took the media upstairs to the presser. There we saw Oscar De La Hoya, who was also in town, along
right.
with Richard Schaefer, all the guys associated with Golden Boy. And let me tell you, that place was nuts. I mean, everybody chanting hard work, dedication for Floyd. You had the other side of the Howard Theater, guys going, Viva la Mexico, Viva la Mexico, Guadalajara. Everybody calling for Canelo. There was even
wow.
a guy in the crowd who shouted out to Oscar, asking if Oscar had fishnets on under his clothes. To which
all Oscar
could do was laugh. All he could do was laugh it off. Nothing he could really do. Hostile environment in D.C. We're rough down here. But it was a great, great time for me. I had a ball. I got a couple of swag items from them with Mayweather Canelo September 14th. But I had a good time. Floyd's
okay.
a very humble guy, but, man, it just came in dripping. Had $1.5 million hanging around his neck. Probably about another $50,000, $60,000 sitting on top of his ass. I was like, man, I was impressed. Definitely was
wow.
impressed.
Wow.
I'm definitely looking forward. I wish I could go to Vegas. They said there's about 1,200 seats left. I don't know what the price range of that particular 1,200 is, but it's going to be an epic fight, man. I was very surprised at D.C. coming together like that for this thing.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, and I'll be looking. Let us know when your article comes out. What venue is that coming out in?
TheAfro.com.
Afro.com? Okay. You,
yes.
That's one. I guess that's your favorite spot to drop a article. Is that
Because I write for the Grammar too, but it's just so much trouble getting the articles up on that. So I just do it through the articles. I know the sports editor at the Afro, so I just send it to him.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's transition over because, as you guys know, and you've been given short updates, periodical updates. And before I do that, I'd be remiss if I didn't have one of these commercials to run. So let me run this first, and I'll be back in about a minute.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
And let me tell you, those quotes are definitely from Mac. I can attest to that because that is exactly how Mac talks. So anybody who's listening now, if you want to frank talk, I'm absolutely frank talk, and I'll say it, keeping it real, because Mac keeps it very real. Join us.
I love him. Let me put it out there. I love him. That's my guy. I love him to death.
Join him Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I apologize for what happened last week. Technical difficulties, huge problem. Frustration from me and Mac given to Block Talk Radio via through Vic about our displeasure on what took place last week that we couldn't do the show because of Block Talk Radio. So hopefully tomorrow night I know Mac wants to talk about LeBron and the Heat, and I got something for him because I want to talk about it too. And we'll see what happens. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Friday night. Be there. Let's move on to the NBA draft. I'm going to go down to the top 10 right now. The Cleveland Browns, who had the number one pick, everyone thought they were going to take Nerlens Noel. Wrong. They took Anthony Bennett, power forward from the UNLV. Orlando Magic had the second pick. They took Victor Oladipo, a shooting guard from Indiana. Your Washington Wizards, Black, took a small forward, another one from Georgetown, Otto Porter. You know anything about Otto Porter? Black.
Man, very solid guy. Solid with the fundamentals. He'll be a great addition to the Washington Wizards.
With a very good pedigree, too.
Yes,
all his parents play basketball.
Yes, sir. Mr. Joke is correct.
Say that again?
Both of his parents play basketball.
Okay. All right. With the fourth pick, Charlotte took Cody Zeller, a power forward from Indiana. That's two players in the top four from Indiana. Anyone know anything about Cody Zeller since he's the second player from Indiana?
He has what do I call him? T-Rex arms. To be
okay.
We'll see what he does. He's a very solid player. Nothing special,
okay.
But a solid player.
Okay. With the fifth pick, it's Alex Len, a center from Maryland. Phoenix took that. And then the sixth pick was involved in a trade. The New Orleans traded with the 76ers, and the 76ers took Nerlens Noel, and the New Orleans gets the 2014 draft pick. So that's a good pickup for New Orleans, and also I think it's a steal at number six for Nerlens Noel for the Sixers. He was supposedly
they also picked up Michael Carter Williams from Syracuse.
Okay.
Yep. With the 11th pick.
With the 11th pick, yes, I see that. Okay, let's move down to the 7th pick. Sacramento took Ben McLemore, shooting guard from Kansas. Anybody know about him?
He's okay. He's all right.
Then Detroit, they're in dire need of a lot of things. They took Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a shooting guard from Georgia. I'm not sure about him at all. I'm not familiar with him. I don't know if you are a Black or Jeff is.
That's a good pick for Detroit, but Detroit needs so much as well.
Yes. Minnesota Timberwolves, they take Trey Burke, point guard from Michigan. That's a good pick for them. Wow. Okay. What do you guys think about Black? You know college basketball quite a bit. What do you think Trey Burke is going to
I'm not really sure what he'll do at Minnesota because Kevin Love is looking to get out of Minnesota, and Minnesota
mm-hmm.
is just not a good situation.
Okay. Do you think he's going to be a good pro, even though you say guys want to leave and the team may be in a little turmoil?
It remains to be seen. I mean, he had a good year, college basketball player of the year, but, you know, he's 6 feet. It's hard to say. I really didn't get too excited for this draft because not a lot of guys jump out to me in this draft. So this is just kind of a down draft for me.
Well, this next pick, pick number 10 from Portland, Jalen Rose interviewed this guy and really likes this guy. C.J. McCollum, a point guard from Lehigh.
He's a steal. He can ball. He's definitely a steal.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that he went top 10.
Mm-hmm. I was watching an interview with, I forget the guy, along with Jalen Rose, who was interviewing C.J. McCollum. But you can see the excitement and the just a good feeling that Jalen Rose had about talking to and conversing with C.J. McCollum. And I think he thinks he's going to do big things in the NBA.
That's a nice backcourt for him. That now with him and Damon Lillard.
Mhm. Yep. And if Philly comes back around again, number 11, like you guys also said, Michael Carter Williams, a point guard from Syracuse. Your dreaded, hated Syracuse. Talk to me, Black. I know you know this guy pretty well.
he's in the perfect place. He would just dwell in the doldrums of Philly. all depends on what Andrew Bynum does, if he even shows up and comes back, but it's a perfect place for him.
And then OKC had the number 12 pick, and they take a center, which is a surprising pick, Steven Adams from Pittsburgh.
Nah, not too surprising, because they actually wanted to move up in the draft to pick Alex Len, but they couldn't get a deal done, so they settled for the second best center. And they go with Steven Adams from Pittsburgh. It's a good pick. Kendrick Perkins gives them nothing, so they need something.
Well, you think what they need is from the center position, or what they need from another forward position or a guard position?
They can fill that out later at the free agency, but they needed something from the center position.
Okay. All right. We got about 3 minutes left in the show. Who's up on the clock now? Up on the clock is the Dallas Mavericks, who are definitely need some help. What do you think about the Dallas? You know, Dallas Mavericks, in my opinion, were an enigma this year. You never know what you were going to get when they showed up on the court.
And they showed up in their record. They finished 41-41, the 500 thing. You got an right. Age in the whiskey there. I don't know. They're actually trying to get Dwight Howard, like everybody's trying to get Dwight Howard, but I don't know about Dallas. Dallas is not even looking forward to this year. They're looking to next year when they have a whole bunch of cap space, trying to make a run at a couple of key free agents that will be on the market. So we'll see what Dallas drives in and just go from there. I don't know. It's been a tough year for Mark Cuban down there in Dallas.
Speaking of people on the move, we talked about it last week. I know you guys heard about it back and forth. It was on, it was off, it was on, it was off, it was on, it was off, it was off, it was on, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then it wound up, it sounded like it was completely off. And then all of a sudden, and I don't know if it was a surprise or not, it was on. And the deal got completed that Doc Rivers went to the L.A. Clippers for a first-round draft pick in 2015, one of those. And the Clippers signed a Doc Rivers to the same deal that he had with Boston. Your thoughts on Doc Rivers going from the East Coast to the Left Coast? Talk to me, Black.
Good move for Doc. You definitely want to get out of Boston right now. All those aging guys. Doc looks like his squad looked like he was going to be coaching down at the YMCA with all the old men in the morning. You definitely don't want to have a squad like that. It was good for him to get up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
Jeff?
You know, it's an aggressive move by the Clippers. I mean, usually you like to think you could get a good coach without giving up something. But, you know, maybe it's a way for them to show that, you know, hey, they're not happy just to make the playoffs. They want to go somewhere in the playoffs. I heard some of the Boston fans aren't happy with Doc. Well, screw them, because Boston fans are never happy about anything. You know, like Doc is the first coach to ever move on. I mean, these college guys, you know, they're like prostitutes practically. So, you know, he got them a championship. But now, part of the, you know, the fine print of that deal was that the Clippers for the next season can't make any more deals with Boston, which even if they tried, the NBA would have to approve it. But I guess for whatever reason, they didn't want, you know, some kind of deal to get Garnett there. I don't know why. Like, if it's a fair deal, what's the problem? But now the Brooklyn Nets are trying to pick up Garnett and Paul Pierce. And you know what they're reminding me of, the Nets? They remind me of, like, the Rich Kotite-era Jets when they were bringing in all these guys way past their prime and losing like crazy. They were bringing in Ronnie Lott past his prime and Art Monk and so many others, and one after another. And, I mean, Garnett and Pierce were great players, but at this point they're both year-to-year. And, I think that's the way they're trying to run the Nets, you know, more interested in publicity than, you know, talent. And, I don't know. And also in the NBA, I've been hearing all week that doesn't look like Dwight's going back to L.A. But, you know, maybe if he sucks on his pacifier tonight, he might wake up in the morning and change his mind. You know, he'll get his diaper changed. He'll be in a better mood. But I think it looks good. Maybe he'll go to Houston or Dallas. But there's some reasons that
he's already complaining about Houston, saying that they will have to slow down their style.
But he doesn't like. He doesn't have a personal problem with D'Antoni, but he doesn't like the D'Antoni system. And he's saying, you know, something that he's entering his prime. He might be already past his prime because he's got a bad back and he takes a lot of hits. And some of that's his fault is because he takes a beating because everybody wants to send him to the foul line. So maybe if he could learn how to shoot fouls, he wouldn't be getting clobbered all the time. But he's a head case. You know, I mean, he's a very talented player, but he is a head case, like a lot of these guys are. And I think he wants to win, but it doesn't consume him. You know what I mean? It's, you know, he's happy just to make the playoffs and get paid and look good and whatever, but I don't think he's got that burning desire to be the best, to be the champion. He could take it or leave it, I think, you know, and who knows? His best years might be behind him. It's possible. Guys have peaked out younger than he is. I mean, he's only 28, but he's got a lot of mileage. Who knows? And he's a head case.
Yes,
he's not a bad
guy,
but a head case.
Yeah, well, I'm not. You guys know I'm not a big Dwight Howard fan. Never have been. But he's supposedly one of the best center, one of the best centers in the league, and everybody. Once a big man, I just don't. He may be big in stature, but he's got a small heart. Let me put it that way. Anyway, we come to the end of the show. I want to thank you guys for spending the time again this week. Any parting shots or words of wisdom that you guys want to say before we close out the show? I'll give it to Jeff first, and then Black, and then we'll get out of here.
Well, I think I'm going to miss David Stern. I think this might be his last NBA draft, and you just can't get over. He looks so short next to these guys.
Yep.
So I don't know how tall the next commissioner is going to be, but it's just so many great photos of David Stern looking up at the future stars of the NBA, and I hope the Knicks could find a nice player with the 25th pick. That's very late in the first round, but they need some young talent. I know they can't get a superstar with that, but, you know, that late in the first round, you could take a chance. You know, you don't want to take chance with a lottery pick, but hopefully they could find a solid contributor. So, hope for the best.
Black?
I mean, Grunfeld, out of your 10, 11 years, man, with the Wizards organization. You'll finally done something right. Congrats on picking an Otto Porter. But now I need you to concentrate on your job a little bit more and get this Wizards team back in the playoffs and get the Wizards team thinking championships. Not just going to the first round or the second round. Championships. You have 1 year left. family owners, if you're listening, don't renew this guy. Don't renew.
With that being said, tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when all three of us will be back here on the FSP Crew Show. Till then, enjoy the rest of the week and enjoy the weekend, and we're out of here. Goodbye.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew.